Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
And a very good song to start our three-week series on the No Fear Bible. We're looking at the Bible in a new way from a Unity perspective over the next 3 weeks. And, you know, some people think that the universe is only 6,000 years old, like the song says. But we got a hankering and understanding that it may be a little more than that. But a lot of people have fear about the Bible, yes, and we may be one of them. There's so much in the Bible that has been used to bang us over the head with for so long, thousands of years, in fact, that it comes with a lot of baggage, and we don't even want to look at it sometimes. And it is a very contradictory book. You know, there's almost everything you could possibly find, it's in the Bible. And if you're looking for one way of thinking, and you pick out those scriptures like we do in Unity, we pick out the ones that suit us, and it works great. But then somebody else will look in there and pull out all the ones that they think look great as well, and they're often contradictory. Well, they're only contradictory if you take it literally, if you make it fit a very linear, superficial way of understanding. And we know in Unity that it's much more profound than that. You have to spiritually discern the Bible. So this week, I'm going to take us on a journey of consciousness, because I think that's what the Bible really is. It's a journey of consciousness from lost innocence to a renewed sense of wise innocence. And next week, we'll look at the metaphysics of the Bible. In other words, the symbolic meaning of the stories, not just the literal meaning, and how powerful that is when you interpret stories metaphysically. Look at that next week. And then the third week, we'll look at the classic qualities and ideas that you see throughout the Bible that really want to illuminate us. Because the Bible isn't here to judge us or beat us up, by the way. Did you know that? It's actually here to free us, right? It's meant to be an illuminating story, like I said, from this lost innocence. You know, the first two chapters of the Bible, real cute, aren't they? Everything's great, and then it kind of goes downhill from there, basically. And so we got 66 books, you know, of storm and stress. But basically, it's the innocence of the child, isn't it? And in a way, the Bible story is our journey from our childlikeness to the eventual cosmic child of Revelation, right? But what happened? We're in bliss. We're sort of ignorant. We have no problems whatsoever. We're in the Garden of Eden. And then there's this dang apple, right? The apple that, of course, we blame Eve for listening to the devil, then giving it to Adam. And he eats it, and it goes to hell from there. What does the apple represent? If you're a Bible scholar, you'll know. The apple was taken from the tree. Knowledge of good and evil, right? So what's that simply saying? From innocence, as we grow up in life, we get some experiences. We understand that life isn't just all sweetness and light anymore. There's this thing called good and evil. We begin to see a sense of duality, separation. It's almost the way we have to survive on planet Earth, right? Unfortunately, we buy into that as the reality of things. You know, that the duality is the way it is. Well, guess what? It ain't. That's only on one level of understanding, because we self-created duality through interpreting the way things seem. But what, and I love what Doug said. Let me read what Doug said in his little questionnaire responses. I think this is so true. He claims this. He said, "I am a spiritual being that was never separated from his creator. I only have an illusion of separation. I rest in source." And that's what we're talking about, the illusion of separation. And I want to throw something out. Eric Butterworth said, I want to throw an apple out here. Eric Butterworth, great Unity minister and writer, he said, the fall was a fall forward. Now tell me what you think that means. The fall was a fall forward. It's part of the plan, right? It's part of the plan. If you're always in innocence and bliss and you never experience anything other than that, you don't have the opportunity to have full awareness of your connectedness. It's just a given. But the fact we lost it means that we can choose. We can find it again. That's the beauty. So it's a fall forward. And yes, we go through all the shenanigans of seeming separation. You'll see that all through the Bible. But all through the Bible also is this remembrance, is an invitation to remember. And I've got five scriptures I want to read that reinforce that. Three from the Old Testament, one from Jesus, one from Revelation. Ooh, we're going to do Revelation today. I've got to read something that somebody sent me. I think it was Dee sent me, our office manager, at the end of the first service. Let's see if I can pull it up. And she said that Tom Thorpe, a Unity minister and teacher at the Village, he said in a class that God putting the apple in the garden, saying, don't eat that, then leaving Adam and Eve is like putting a cookie jar in the middle of a room with a two-year-old saying, don't eat that. And then being surprised and angered when he does. You know, when you're a child, when you're really tiny, there's not even a three-dimensional reality, right? There's no separation between you and anyone else. It's all this amorphous oneness of joy, right? And as we grow, we're taught, aren't we? We're taught to fit into a certain system of thinking and being. And that's okay if it helps us maneuver. But if we think this system is the only reality, we got a problem here because it's not, right? There is something larger. And you'll see that in the first few books of the Bible, where they're sort of lost, wandering around. So what do? We begin to codify things. We begin to put laws in place, rules and regs, right? And if you read the whole book of Leviticus, you'll see all the rules and regs. Please don't read it. It's very depressing. But if you insist, you know, it's going to bum your whole week out. I'll tell you what, you know, Leviticus, oh my God. And then add Deuteronomy onto that, and you've got a double whammy, man. Phew! You thought the media were bad. Forget about it. This is going to kill you. Rules and regulations, they're necessary to a degree, right? If I say I don't care which side of the road I'm going to drive on because I don't believe in rules, we got a problem. You're probably going to get into a wreck. So rules and regulations are fine in they're necessary, but they're not the ultimate reality of what's going on here. And the Bible continually invites us to move beyond the rules and the regulations. I'll talk about that in these scriptures that I'm going to pick out. The Bible is also an interwoven thing. It's not a linear path, just like our lives, you know. Sometimes you think you got it, and then you don't got it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you think you're really cooking with gas, and then all the lights go out, kind of thing. And so it's a bit like that. It's up and down. You'll see that all through the Bible. But the encouragement is always to wake up to this moment, to this interior awareness. So I think I'm going to shift to the scriptures now so we can get involved with them. And I'm going to offer five scriptures. First one's from Isaiah 43, 18, 19. Great prophet. Prophets were always coming along to say, it doesn't have to be like that. There's a greater possibility, right? And what do we usually do to prophets? We don't like them because they're inviting us into something larger. We're happy in our little confinement in the prison cell of our comfort zone, right? And so we initially resent those people that invite us out. Isaiah says this. He said, stop dwelling on past events. Wow. That could be written by a self-help book in 2017. Stop dwelling on past events and brooding over days gone by. Brooding. You know, my mother used to say, stop dwelling on things so much. It's the same idea, isn't it? Brooding, dwelling, spending all our attention on the problem, right? I am about to do something new, says God. This moment it will unfold. Can you not perceive it? Now, these are words of challenge, but they're also words of opportunity. There's no judgment involved here. It's not like saying you're a stupid idiot because you can't see this. It's an invitation, isn't it? But it's a tough love invitation. Stop dwelling on past events and brooding over days gone by. See, there's gossip out the window right there. Ooh, do you hear what they did yesterday? Ooh, this, that, and the other. You know, all the things that sidetrack us into misery. Folks, we get to choose, don't we? You can make your life an absolute hell if you want to, or you can make it a heaven. What's changed? Has the world changed? No. We have. It's our attitude. It's our choice. That's the fall forward. The fall forward into a ability to choose the higher way on any given day. So yeah, it is hell out there, isn't it? But it's also heaven, right? And you can't say, no, it's beautiful, it's heavenly. You've got to acknowledge it can be hell sometimes because it's about embrace, right? This is the search for wholeness here. The Bible is about wholeness. The Bible is about integration. Do you know how many times Satan is mentioned in the Old Testament? 3 times, right? Satan's not very important in the Old Testament. Creeps in New Testamental thinking because they were influenced by the Persians, whatever dualistic attitude. So really, Satan is not that important, you know. The Old Testament, most of the Bible is talking about integration, as I talked about last week, of the light and the dark. Stop dwelling on past events, brooding over days gone by. Listen, I'm about to do a new thing because that's what I always do, says God. I'm in the new business, right? Every moment is new. Isn't that glorious, though? Because what does that mean? You can regain your innocence, right? Because there's only the now. There's the newness in the now. This moment, it will all unfold. Doug made the affirmation, what can I do that's helpful? Ring, ring, serve on the board. Oh, yeah. Because that's how it happens. There's no space or time to spirit, folks. Have you ever had this where things show up? You think, wow, that was synchronicity. How did that happen? Well, it happened in God's time because there's no time to God, right? It was the answer to that question of how long do I have to wait? Your choice. It's here and now if you want to claim it, yes? I am about to do something new. This moment it will unfold. Can you not perceive it? Well, if you can't, where are you? Back in hell. Back in hell. Yeah, back in making life a problem, a misery. It's never going to happen. Oh, God, oh, if only, and all that stuff. You know, all these are added extras, aren't they? They're the rule book, the prison sentence we declare on ourselves. You know, we're our own judge and jury here. And we're in the prison cell with the doors open, but we don't want to leave, you know? But the invitation of the prophets and all the great masters is, come on, let's get going. This is fun. Hosea 6:6. I desire loyalty and steadfast love, not sacrifice, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Now, those old Jews and Israelites were constantly burning up things. Excuse me. Almost slipped out there. No, but it was the best. It was the best. Always the unblemished offerings, right? The calves and the lambs and the this, that, and the other. And they thought if they did that, made that outer observance, they were right with God. And God is saying here, I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice. It's not about what you do in the outer to make it look good. It's where your inner motivation is, right? So it's an inside job here, acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. And sometimes we think, oh my God, if I sacrifice enough, if I do this, do that, if I make it right, if I force myself, you know, it's going to happen. We do ourselves a disservice, don't we? We beat up on ourselves. And that's why it never happens, maybe. Because where is our focus? On all the things that's difficult to do. Instead of saying, no, this is a joy, this is a piece of cake. By the way, today is Guy Fawkes Day. Anybody know that? He tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament. They caught him and burned him at the stake, okay? And every year in Britain, all during my childhood, we would make a big bonfire. We'd make an effigy of Guy Fawkes, and we'd burn him on the stake. Then we'd have fireworks. But it goes back to the Celtic festival where they burned up, you actually sacrificed things, you know, back in the day, in ancient history. Remember the Wicker Man sacrificing human beings and stuff? So it goes back all through history. But the message, the interior message of this is, it's always a good day to burn up the dross, isn't it? It's always a good day to say bye-bye to all that nonsense so that new life can come forth. So If there's something that you need to let go of, that's what we do, the burning bowl. It's letting go of that old so that we can behold, I make all things new. Right? So if it's nonsense, if it's silliness, if it's gossip, if it's hurting you, burn it up, let it go, you know? Burn that guy, because you ain't that guy. You are something more magnificent. You are spirit. Micah 6:8, another prophet. The Lord has told you, mortals, what is good. I love the way they talk, you know. The Lord has told you, mortals. Come on, get with the action here. And what it is that the Lord requires of you. And then he tells us three things, that if we follow these three things, we're home free. Only to act justly, to love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Wow. That's it. So let's take it apart. Act justly. What does that mean? Be fair. Do unto others as you have them do to you. Remember your oneness, right? Because when you remember we're all one, you don't do hurtful things to others because you know it damages you. You remember that's true justice. Justice is not an outer observance again. It's not the court system. It's that inner recognition that we are one in truth. And how do we therefore respond from that context? Yes. Love kindness. I love what the Dalai Lama says. I already have religion, one religion, the religion of kindness. It's a recognition of connectedness again, isn't it? And then finally, to walk humbly with your God. To go on a journey of consciousness with the Spirit within you. Now, let me ask you a question, though. What does it mean to walk humbly? Humbly. Even if you don't know anything, be open, right? Open and receptive. See, because don't think humble means I'm a worm of the dust and I've got to be crawling on all fours here. Humbly means I don't know, I have all the answers, but I'm open and receptive to that which does have the answers. That's the Spirit within me. So humbly, a humble walk is an open walk, an expansive walk, right? I'm open to new things. It's going back to that innocence again, but with the wisdom of experience, right? Nobody's fool, not bought and sold by the world, but also not distrustful, open to the wonder and possibility. And marrying those two together, that's the fall forward into new understanding. What did you say? Be in awe. Be in awe, yeah. Be open and receptive. You know, I used to live in southern England, and there was a train that went from London down to Hastings, which is where we used to live near Hastings, and there was various stations on the way, and the last station was Awe. And so it would say, stopping at Bexhill, St. Leonard's, you know, you name it, Hastings and Awe. And we'd say, and or what, you know? But then I got to thinking, and or, you know? When you get there, it's wonderful. It's full of awe. It's full of wonder. All right, let's shift to the New Testament because this is when God is supposed to get a little nicer, right? But as we found out from those scriptures, he was quite nice even in the Old Testament. But here's Jesus. This is Matthew 9. As he went on from there, Jesus saw a man named Matthew at his seat in the custom house and said to him, follow me. And Matthew rose and followed him. When Jesus was having a meal in the house, many tax collectors, oh Lord, and sinners were seated with him and his disciples. Noticing this, the Pharisee said to his disciples, why is it that your teacher eats with tax collectors and sinners? Hearing this, he said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this text means. I require steadfast love, not sacrifice. We just read that one, didn't we? And Jesus is repeating it, so it must be very important, right? I require mercy, steadfast love, not sacrifice. I did not come to call the virtuous, but sinners. You know, so often we make the Bible fit us, And like, well, I'm doing all the right things, you know. I'm not sinning anymore, but I could tell you, you are, you know, that sort of thing. Whereas really, Jesus said, he is without sin, let him cast the first stone, right? Sin simply means I didn't get it all perfectly right as a human being. Yeah? So, therefore, Jesus is there for me, not for the perfect people, right? Anybody perfect right now? From your human perspective? The people who are didn't show up this morning. Too good for unity, you know what I'm saying? The bottom line is this message is for all of us, right? Not just for the special people who follow the special laws who seem to get it all right. No, the prophets invite us out of that trap, out of that prison of perfection, because it's never perfect on planet Earth, but it is perfect in the kingdom of heaven, which is planet Earth. It's a conundrum. But if we're looking for it in the outer, we're not going to find it. We're going to find it in the inner awareness, the inner response to what's going on in the outer. And then finally, the bit you've been waiting for with bated breath, Revelation. Revelation, 22 chapters of really hell, basically, until it gets to the last two. And the reason being is it's a recapitulation of everything that went on in the Bible, right? So it talks about the storm and stress of dealing with the craziness of life. But remember, it's a fall forward. It's not meant to be a book of judgment. It's a book of all the things that ensnare us and how to get free from them. So when we get to chapter 21, it's glorious because it teaches us the new innocence. Before I read it, let me ask a question. What's the difference between a little baby, that kind of innocence, and then the cosmic child, eternal child innocence that we're aiming for here to be enlightened in? What's the difference? Because Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you won't enter the kingdom. But there is a difference, isn't there? Because we've made all this journey of 66 chapters through the Bible. We've gone through a lot. So what are we bringing to become the cosmic child? This awareness, new awareness, based on wisdom from experience, from intuitive awareness, right? From non-judgment, from the fact that it's about here and now. It's an inner awareness, yeah? It's a beautiful child, isn't it? Because it marries both the ignorant innocence of the child with the experience of our lives. So we're completely whole. And there's a good description of it in Revelation. And here we go. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had vanished, and there was no more longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready like a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice proclaiming from the throne, now God has his dwelling with humankind. He will dwell among them and they shall be his people and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be an end to death and to mourning and crying and pain, for the old order has passed away. In other words, we've risen from this veil of tears into an awareness that all is well, right? I remember who I am. I am that beauty, that magnificence. Yeah, life on planet Earth is going to come and go. None of us are going to be around in 50 years, probably, right? On that level. But isn't that a positive thought? Thank you for sharing, yeah. But the point being is we are more than this changing thing. We are this beauty, this essence, this I am consciousness, right, that is one with God. And when you remember that and bring it back down into the veil of tears, then everything becomes joy. Everything becomes possible. Life becomes an amazing journey of possibility rather than a misery to be endured every day, right? Then he goes on, the one who sat on the throne said, I am making all things new. Just like old Isaiah said, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. We're at the workshop. You got your notepad? Write it down. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water from the spring of life as a gift. This is the victor's heritage, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. It's a description of the unitive state, why we call ourselves Unity Church of Fort Worth, right? But then, unfortunately, they tagged on a few more sentences. that goes and ruins the whole thing. Want to hear them? Let's. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the obscene, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and the liars of every kind, the lake that burns with sulfurous flames will be their portion. And that's the second death. Thank you for sharing. Oh, why did they stick that on there? What's that about? Because if you're taking it literally, it sounds like we got it all right. You know, we're the good people. And then those others, you know, we always knew they were bad. They were fornicating. They were lying. They were doing all this. But it's not about other people, is it? It's about those aspects within us. If we insist on staying in that dualistic format of selfishness, then the promise is it's going to dissolve. It's going to die. It's going to go into misery, right? You're going to live in hell. But if you remember your oneness, then you're home free. Oh my God, 25 minutes and we've explained the whole Bible, I hope. Amen. So meditation or contemplation, prayer, these are all practices to stop for a moment and remember, to recall who we really are, to move from that apparent sense of separation back to our wholeness. Jesus spent whole nights in prayer. The psalmist invited us to be still and know that I am God. And so it's always a good idea to come apart and rest a while. Whether we do it formally in prayer and meditation during our day or informally in a moment of thankfulness, remembrance, a moment to stop and to smell the roses, as they say, to put a pause in the flow of our lives so that we can not be trapped in the endless march of distraction, but to know that there is peace in every second, peace in every moment. To let spirit express. And the amazing thing is that until we do that, sometimes we're not even aware of that dimension. But when we do that, we are filled with new understanding, with intuitive awareness, with that spaciousness and that joy that remind us that we are those beautiful children of the divine. So as you move into a time of silence, remind yourself, I am that beauty, that magnificence, that love, that freedom. I am a being of incredible possibility. I am one with the one. I am capable and courageous. I am. I am. And so as we go forward into our week, may we remember that truth. May that phrase come to mind during parts of our day when we feel the least connected, that I am that, that magnificence, that spirit, that wholeness, that freedom. This is the truth. So thank you, God, and so it is.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.